Welcome to a very special Full Credit to the Boys, a retro round interview. For those not around to watch footy in the 80s and the early 90s, this bloke was one of the more wild men in a time when men were men. When refs like Hollywood Hartley would allow blokes to square up within a 10-minute window where there were no match review committees and no 20 cameras to watch every inch of the field. He is a Hall of Fame member of the Balmain Tigers. And not only that, I'm proud to call him one of my mates. Welcome to Full Credit of the Boys, Kerry Buckets Hemsley. All right, well, let's introduce our very special guest, Sid, and we've travelled all the way across Sydney for this, to some of the more luxurious suburbs of the
it's tough here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a rugged view of just an absolute shitbox harbour. I can see four dead bodies floating in the water.
A horrible day.
Anyway, let's get back to the boat we're talking to, and welcome, absolute champion, and my mate, Kerry Hemsley. Hello, mate. How are you?
Great, thanks. It's great to be here in this shit view with Barangaroo just down there and the Harbour Bridge, and you've waited for the fog to lift to be here, mate. Very accommodating.
Can I say, this has got to be one of the greatest days of my life, where it's like having Superman and Clark Kent in the same room here.
Which one do you want to be?
I don't know, but it sounds like Phil Rothfield talking.
I was going to say, I don't know if I'm Superman, but I remember one night I dressed up as Catwoman. So,
well, I have put the Balmain jumper on occasionally.
3 nights ago, I believe. So we'll kick off, mate. Born in the Riverina, lost to AFL at an early age. How close were you to heading that way?
Well, in the Riverina, we played both grades, both codes. We had 6 weeks of rugby league in winter sport and we had 6 weeks of Aussie rules in winter sport. So I played Riverina, Aussie rules and rugby league. Peter Sterling, they say, would have been the best Aussie rules player ever if he hadn't played rugby league. He was the halfback for Riverina under-18s. Steve Turvey Mortimer, Les Boyd. It's just one of those...
Les Boyd, I can't imagine Les Boyd. I don't think he'd be a real good fit, if I'm honest.
Well, there were a few. Kevin the Cowboy, Neil for St Kilda. There were a couple of big blockers in those days playing Aussie rules, and it's just whatever took your fancy, but it was sport.
He'd push the melee rule to the limit, wouldn't he?
Wouldn't be many jumper punches if nothing else. And so how good was Kerry Hemsley at
Pretty average at everything, but a good goer and a team player. But I was pretty lucky that we played footy and they have a position called second row. And if you've got no ability, you've got no pace, you go into the second row and you have work rate.
Well, if that's the case, then what do we call wingers?
Well, they're people that hang around football. Yeah. You know that. And you know what soccer players are. They're people that hang around wingers.
And a big shout out to Normie, who couldn't, unfortunately, be here.
Who used to play on the wing. We call him Not Real Muscly Touch Judge.
Yeah, well, I had a story about a winger playing footy one day, and a bloke said, "See that bloke there, that real fast bloke?" He said, "That's my young bloke." I said, "If I was that scared, I'd want to be that fast too." And that's the summation of a winger's capabilities, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Mate, you came to Balmain from the Riverina. Tell the story about how you got selected from that.
Well, I used to ride motorbikes in the country and we hung around a few blokes down in Melbourne and that. And after a couple of years, a friend of Neil Pringle's, Kevin Rowey, who ended up being the head of the NCA, he was a local detective and he said, "Kerry, you can either go to Sydney and play football or you can answer a few more questions." so I went to Sydney.
And you lobbed at Balmain. Now, is it true they gave you the name Buckets? Is Dennis Tuddy gave you the name Buckets?
Dennis and a few of the other boys, I'd come up and I said, "Well, you've made the semis once in 12 years. I said, "I won't be listening to you, yous will be listening to me." And what happened is whenever we had a team meeting, they'd say, "And what have you got to say, Bucket Mouth? Because you'll have something to say." And then we made 8 out of the next 9 semi-final campaigns. I don't know if it was right or wrong.
No coincidence.
No.
And you spent one season in Wigan?
I had a season in England, which was fantastic. They're the nicest people in the world in the north of England, where rugby league was created. And they play, it opened my eyes up to why they played football. They played football to put money on the, to put bread on the table. And we in Australia play it for sport. Over there, they play it to survive. And it was just the nicest. And I actually got lucky enough to play at Wembley, scored a try. And but those people in the north of England were fantastic. Nicest people I've ever met in my life.
And what name did you run under to get out of customs?
Well, the same sort of thing. I was Kevin Hardwick at the time. But a lot of people called me Kerry Softwick.
So, 9 seasons at Balmain. What were your fondest memories from the Tigers days?
Oh, the camaraderie and then the fact that we all stayed together. Roche, Ciro, Gary, Jack, Wayne Pearce, all had massive offers to go to other clubs. And in this day and age, they would have accepted them at the drop of a hat and no one would have said anything. But we kept our team together. A bit of bad luck that we never won the comp. But I was a bit lucky that I had no ability when I first got to Balmain. They said, Kerry, you've got no ability, you need a gimmick. So I grew me here and rode a motorbike and got 9 years out of them.
Mate, last game, 1988 grand final.
Yeah, I again did a part for the team. It was a bit funny. We'd finished reserve grade that year. I played 3 first grade games all year. We had a bit of a, it wasn't in Warren Ryan's plans. And then Roche got suspended. So he had to come and ask me. I was the only one in the reserve grade team from the Mad Monday that had got asked to train on. So I consider myself fortunate. But as always, the club's bigger than the individual. So you do what you're asked to do. And I still think they go on about Roche and Siren and Boone replaced in 89. But what about in 88 when they took off Hemsley and Hanley?
I'm thinking. Well, I think Barr took out Hanley, so that was. Speaking of Mad Mondays, tell Sid the story about dropping the Harley.
I had a mate, a great mate, Rossi Boodle, and he ran the Fortune of War in Sydney at Sydney's oldest pub. And in those days, you'd go to, you know, the pub, and then you go to King's Cross, and then you go to the early opener, which was down at the Rocks. So I'm riding my bike down from the Cross, and I've come around the corner where the cop shop used to be opposite the Orient. I've come straight off. You wouldn't believe it. And the cops have come running out. These old people are, oh, look at that. He's drunk, this, that, and the other. So they've taken me in, and Ciro happened to be working at the Rocks police station at the time. So he said, now listen, Buckets, get your bike and get down the road down into your mate's pub and stay out of trouble. So I've gone down and I've fallen asleep on front of my bike out in front of Boots' pub. So then these old ladies, the same old ladies are going past, they've gone running back. He's escaped! He's escaped! And the coppers have had to come down and tell him it was the wrong person.
Oh. You went to Blaney and played in the coldest place in Australia, outside of Oberon, I'd reckon. How was that?
Well, my family's originally, my dad's family's from Blaney. So a great mate called Johnny Davis, who's the mayor of Orange, he said, you know, and he's a great Balmain supporter, and he asked me to come out. He looked after me financially, but I loved the country football and that. We had a pretty good team. We had Jeff Blinkhorn, Sean Watson, and we're only a little town, 1,500, and we're playing against big towns like Bathurst and Orange with 40, 50,000 people, Mudgee, Lithgow. And we won the comp, which was fantastic for the little town. And I went to Yanko after that, which is another little town. But I can't understand the big players going to the big towns. And as I've said about the AFL and the rugby league, if a big star like Jared Hayne came on board in the AFL, he'd be going to the bottom club with the draft and all of that. And there's just no sense of equity. The salary cap's being rorted big time. Where we are at the moment, we're 2 stories below Nick Politis, and I believe I took you up there and showed you his floor, and there were these brown paper bags everywhere.
Scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone was taking our photos. From a distance.
Yeah.
What would you declare as your all-time favourite memory?
Well, running out on Leichhardt Oval at 19 years of age to play against Arthur Beetz and Bob O'Reilly and Ron Hildish, my first grade game in Sydney, would have been a great thing. I think winning our first grade comp in the country, beating another great team, Griffith Waratahs, who'd won 3 in a row or whatever, that was a big highlight. And scoring a try at Wembley. I don't score too many, but as we say, I set up a heap. But
first try scorer, did you get on?
No, I didn't get on, but 19-4 was a good scoreline. We didn't win.
Speaking of the 8th wonder of the world, which is Leichhardt Oval, what do you think should be done about that ground and other suburban grounds?
I've come a long way since it started, and I believe that if you follow the AFL and what they're doing, because they listen to their fans, I do believe that you've got to go to the big stadiums, and I do believe that you've got to, like, I love Homebush Stadium. I can go out there on public transport, I can go and get a seat, I can get a beer, I can you know, go to the toilet, I can do whatever, and in this day and age, the big stadiums, and if you can't get a crowd, you have a double header, but you've got to get some fans, some bums on seats.
And so, with that in mind, where were you on Legends Night the other night when we were all out there?
Well, we've all had a bit of a falling out with the West Tigers. I'm a life member and I'm a Hall of Famer. And if I was in the AFL, I'd automatically get 2 season tickets to go to the football and keep supporting the game. But every time I ring up, they say, sorry, we're the West Tigers. We're not the Balmain Tigers. So that's really turned me off. And and then we have our own reunion, which we put on. Peter Grounds, who's tied up with the Men of League, he's organised, it's called the Balmain Good Guys Day every first week in December. It's down at Des Moines Sailing Club, and it's not only for players, but supporters, staff, the whole deal. It's a wonderful occasion, and the West Tigers at Five Dock said, well, why don't you come over here and put it on, and we'll have it there. And he said, it's a good guy's day, not a dickhead's day. So that tells you where the ex-players are standing. Larry Corr and a few other people had plenty to say on it. But unlike the AFL, the NRL don't embrace their past. Like the Brisbane Lions, Fitzroy is still alive and kicking even though they're dead, you know what I mean? South Melbourne is still a huge part of the Sydney Swans, and yet Balmain and West are no part of the West Tigers.
When you look at our old Leagues Club out there, and it's in a decrepit state, although they reckon the hygiene in the kitchen's better these days than it's ever been, what do you think?
Well, that's big money in developers with no feeling for anything, isn't it? And I can't believe that you'd, you know, get a DA for your garage or your house and you'd fail 10 times. But like if they tell you it's 8 stories high and you put a DA in for 10 stories, well, you're asking for trouble, aren't you? Do what you're supposed to do. Like forget about the greed and the money. Build what you're allowed to build and get on with it.
What's your take on the game of rugby league today?
It's getting like rugby union. It's a pretty ordinary game. 5 hit-ups and then kick. 5 hit-ups and then kick. The one thing that I love about the AFL, they're evolving, and you get penalised for kicking into touch. Imagine rugby league if you're not allowed to kick into touch. Wouldn't they be more honest and honourable? And imagine, like we're saying, with less replacements. Then the little blokes come into it, you know, 10 minutes before half-time. Imagine competing in the scrum. Imagine competing in the play the ball. Imagine the spontaneity of what rugby league used to be like. Rugby league's nothing now.
There's still a fair gap between us and union, I've got to be honest.
Oh, for sure, but there's the AFL I'm starting to really enjoy because they embrace the Australian values. They listen to their fans, they do what they're asked.
Shout out to Normie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Normie will be wrapped with that.
Let's go into the 80s. Who from, besides me and you, who from our time would have prospered in current day, you reckon?
A lot of wingers and a lot of
well, you probably find your second roles to play wing.
Yeah, exactly. But well, I'm not really sure. I can't sort of, there were so many football players in the 80s. You had to have a little bit of football knowledge, and I still think one of the biggest things that holds rugby league back is in the 80s our referees were ex-first graders. Yeah. And in the 70s you had Keith Holman, who played for Australia, and these referees nowadays, none of them have ever played rugby league.
Well, speaking of professionalism and how the game is nowadays, back in the 80s, what was your week like, training?
Well, Tuesday was pretty heavy. Like, you went out on Sunday night, you got home on Monday afternoon, you woke up on Tuesday morning and had breakfast, then you went to training and were very sick, and then you went to training on Thursday, went to work on Wednesday, and then on Thursday you went to training. And either Friday or Saturday, depending on the game, you'd have your light run. But we were lifestyle fit. You know, we had work and that was lifestyle fit. And also we had our footy in those days catered for different people. You had big, strong blokes in the front row. You had, you know, quicker blokes out in the back row. You had very talented blokes in the centres and on the wing. You had clever, creative blokes in the halves. You had all different types, body types and types, whereas now rugby league's just one type. And, that's what disappoints me, whereas in Aussie rules you've got 6'8" blokes, you've got 5'6" blokes, you've got big blokes, you've got little blokes. Rugby union's the same thing, but rugby league only caters for one type of build.
Do you see much of the old Tiger squad?
We do, and like I said, we have the good guys day every year, and that's even better because the fans come along and the rubbers and the strappers and everyone like that. It's a great day for anyone that loves Balmain. If you're just a supporter, come down to Des Moines Sailing Club, and it's just a good concept, the good guys day, and we sing the Balmain song, jingle bells, the Balmain boys are here.
Does we've everyone come get to along? Kiss your women. Are there certain people that aren't invited?
Well, as we said, it's a good guys day, and we're a bit like the Swans. We've got a no dickheads policy. Yeah.
What about, here's a go. How was your relationship in the day with journos and the media? I already know the answer to this, which is...
Well, the thing is, they were the journos, they did their job, and they knew, we had to tell them about the game because they knew nothing about the game. I'll never forget the day that Steve Roach, we were both injured and we're watching a Wednesday night game, and we've happened to come down to the dressing rooms and some idiot photographer's stuck the flash under Block's nose and let it off, so Block's headbutted him. Well, that night at the club, Peter Frelingos has rang up. And I've answered the phone and he said, "Do you know what's happened? Blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Well, anyone that does that deserves what's happened. It's almost an assault, isn't it? Flashing your eyes with a camera bulb or whatever." He said, "I'm the number one red journo, blah, blah." I said, "That's exactly right. You're an effing journo. Piss off." We were the stars, not them.
What about, there's you listening, Buzz?
Yeah.
What about, we might beep this name out. Tell Sid about Mascot.
Love Stevie Mascot, champion bloke, but when I first met Steve, he was staying at me mate who owned the pub's place in the Rocks, and I was a bit, I was from the country then, everything was black and white, so I've gone around to visit me mate at the terrace houses opposite the Harbour View Hotel at the Rocks, and I've knocked on the door, and a strange voice answered, "Who is it?" And I said, "It's Buckets, where's Boot?" "No, there's no one here, bullshit mate, I know he lives here." No. I said, "Don't tell me lies, mate." He went, "No, I'm telling you." "All right then." So I kicked the door down and headbutted Mascot, and it took me 20 years to apologise to him.
What about if we go back in time? How do you reckon we'd go if camera phones and social media were around in the 80s and 90s?
Oh, definitely. Well, you'd be out at Little Bay interviewing me. But, yeah, that's a good point. But my point is if I was getting $750,000 a year, I'd get off the piss and I'd I'd make all the concessions. You know, where do you get $750,000 from? You know what I mean? You'd do anything for it, wouldn't you?
Steve Edmed fell across it.
Well, you're the greatest footballer in the Super League era, that's right. Chucky's a great mate. I threw him into his first sex party in a while.
We usually do a bit of a word association, so we'll say something, and you just tell me what pops into your mind. It's pretty easy. We're not going to set you up for a fall, much. So we'll kick off. Ellery Hanley,
Pearl,
Warren Ryan,
Champion,
Benny Elias,
Come and Try Us,
Blocker and Ciro,
Replacement,
West Tigers.
Shit.
Herbie Freeman.
Great bloke. Two words.
The NRL.
Trying hard.
Todd Greenberg.
Trying hard as well.
Marina Go.
Gotta go.
Referees.
How to zero.
State of origin.
Disappointing.
You should have played.
Best player ever.
Best player ever. I picked the best team and that sort of thing, but I loved Graham Langlands as a kid. Graham Langlands.
Best player now?
Oh, Jonathan Thurston. Is the best player ever now, Jonathan Thurston. Fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd see one better than Joey, but he's gone past him.
Yeah, Joey was good, but I thought Bobby Fulton was better, and I thought Graham Langlands was better, but I'm thinking Jonathan Thurston's better than Graham Langlands, and even the older boys might even have to agree with that now.
Mm. We do a set of six. This will be interesting, actually. So we ask you six questions. We've asked Yvonne, we've asked everyone that's been on the show. So we'll kick it off. First tackle. What's the most embarrassing song in your car?
The most embarrassing song in my car? I'm listening to a bit of Dandy Warhols at the moment. Oh, so yeah,
about that.
I don't
good.
Mind the Dandies, but I've got a bit of KC and the Sunshine Band as well.
There you go. Now you start to...
That's the way.
All right. Three guests, alive or dead, who you'd invite to a dinner party?
Winston Churchill, great hero. Weary Dunlop, the Australian war hero and champion bloke. And Thomas Edison.
Jeez.
Wow.
Trying hard.
Mine would have been two porn stars and a Coke seller, but anyway. If there was a movie about you, who plays Kerry Hemsley?
Well, I'm thinking Thor would be a start now, but before that it'd be Billy Ray Cyrus, wouldn't it?
What's three things you'd take on a deserted island?
on a deserted island. Well, I'd have to have something to read, so it'd be a book. I'm a great reader. I just, as a kid, you grow up reading books. Music doesn't interest me too much, but obviously you'd have to have some food and some water.
Jeez, you're very simple, man. what superpower would you want?
The superpower I'd want to be to go back in time with the knowledge. Oh, there'd be a lot of things, but it'd be for the good of mankind.
Jeez, we'd back some winners between us.
Oh,
Stuart McGruddy.
Yeah. What will be written on your tombstone?
My young bloke's told me this. He said it should be the family motto. Get on with it. Hurry up and die.
Wait, now, we usually end every interview with the Viv Richards story.
Yep.
And this has been the bait to get you here today. So I'm going to tell you the Viv Richards story. Back in the mid-80s, the great West Indian cricket team were touring Australia, and it was party by night, cricket by day, and they were superstars at the time. And they were out on the piss in Sydney one night. Anyway, Viv Richards and Gordon Greenidge picked...
I'm stunned, because you wouldn't believe it. We used to catch up with them on Tuesday nights at the Woollahra Hotel.
There you go.
Yeah, the West Indies and the Australian cricket team. Like,
they weren't nearly as big as Balmain.
No,
nearly.
Sydney was a small place, but in summer we had to sort of hang off someone else. The Coogee Bay on a Sunday, we'd do the two-hour run, and then we'd do the Bikini Girl contests all day from 10 till 10 at night. And then so goes the benefits of the two-hour Coogee Bay run.
What about, go back to when we're playing footy. Who did you love playing against?
Oh, we loved South especially, because the referees had let us do whatever we wanted to. Like, you know, it was a real good old-fashioned game of footy, and then the next week you'd play Parramatta and you'd all get 6 weeks. Jack Gibson, you know what I mean? They're just two different rules for two different players. But when we played South, they said, go at it, you idiots, do your best, and we loved it.
Who were the toughest blokes you've seen?
When I was a young bloke, the only bloke that ever winded me or whatever, Terry Randall, and everyone will tell you that, but never got concussed. I was pretty lucky, you know. When you're from the country, you've got a bit of a different build, you know. You've got your own cows, you've got your own fruit and veggies, your own meat and all that sort of stuff. So you've got a bit of a head start on the city kids that are eating chips and all that sort of rubbish. And and that was the beauty when I played. Every second player was from the country. Mm. Nowadays, there's no country input. There's no Australia left in rugby league.
Do you think a bloke like Greg Bird would actually shine back in the day now, because he'd get away with a lot more shit than he actually can get away with these days?
Yeah, well, he's an old school sort of bloke, but I don't think he would have lasted, because he would have got sat on his ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A dirty, cheating little bugger like him, and he's not that big, you know what I mean? And nowadays, they were big men, and you know, you're sort of after the first 10 minutes, well, we can keep going like this, or we'll get on with the footy. But you got sorted out, and that's where I agree with the no punching rule, even though you can't. And it's a lot to do with the makeup of the young person too. They're not as tough as they were, so they can't take the headshots, and obviously you can't go backwards.
Mm.
But there's got to be some sort of accountability. And I love the NFL, whereas if you taunt the opposition or if you do anything like that, it's an instant penalty. Mm. Like, you're not allowed to score a touchdown and take the piss. Well, even that, or take the piss out of them, and that they realise that's what starts the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, I still think there's nothing wrong with giving a bloke a clip, which you can't do anymore.
Yeah, and I think it's because of their physical makeup, honestly. Like, they're not eating what we used to eat, and they're not working like we used to do. They're not riding their bikes to school, so they're not as physically tough. Oh, my stepson's a showman, and he's having a lot of troubles with... He runs dodgem cars and things like that, and the kids of today aren't as robust, and they complain about getting knocked around on the rides on the show, and that tells you that the kids are changing.
I think too, mate. None of these kids get smacked anymore. Let's get real philosophical here. No one gets smacked anymore, so they don't know what pain is.
Yeah.
And because they don't know what pain is, this is where king hitting comes in, because they inflict pain, because they don't realise what it actually feels like to be hit.
Exactly right.
And this is the thing, you can go all the way back through, and then you go to footy, and you've now got wingers telling front rowers and standing there chest to chest, knowing the front rower can't punch
him
in the head.
That's exactly right, former. When you're younger and you get your first little knock to the head, and well, I shouldn't say your first little knock to the head, but when you get a little bit of a, you go, oh, Jesus Christ, didn't that hurt? And then that experiences you, and you do something so it doesn't happen again. But it taught you what not to do and what it feels like.
Yeah, the first time you feel your nose underneath your left eyeball, you think, Jesus.
How embarrassing was it?
Oh, hello, is that the gong?
How embarrassing was it the other night?
Politis is in.
When the Queensland bloke threw the ball at the New South Wales player's head.
Yeah, see?
And Fifita ran 40 metres to grab him around the head, and then it was a big bunch of blokes pushing each other.
There's two things that's I don't like about that. I don't like throwing balls at blokes' heads when you score. The fact that you score should be where you get your
and
joy
that's,
from.
And that's the NFL ruling.
Yeah.
incitement, sorry,
I
penalty.
I don't like Fifita coming over.
No, me neither.
I think, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've run 15, 20 metres, look like an absolute prize tool, come from behind and pull him down.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do all that, at least smack him.
Exactly.
But if that's the NFL, you get penalised 20 yards in the next kickoff for the first incident of ball throwing, and Fifita gets ejected from the game altogether.
Yeah.
For something like that, he would have got ejected from the NFL. Sorry, because that sort of shit starts the real argument. That's so if you're going to take away the punch, you've got to increase the penalties for the.
Totally agree. Now what you're saying is no punching, but you can antagonise as much as you
exactly
want.
Exactly right.
With no, I mean that Challenge Cup at the beginning of the year, one of the Pommies belted one of our blokes. I can't remember what game it was at. Mate, he was in shock.
Yeah.
He was in shock he'd been punched.
Yeah.
You know, he'd never, because he'd never banked on
but,
it. And
but the laws have got to reflect society, so you can't punch, that's obvious. But what you can do, like I said, you've got to punish the shit stirrer.
Mm.
Yeah. And that comes from the referee being a man of the world and knowing a little bit. And unfortunately, the referees don't know much, like Chicken Legs Chechen. How do you get a nickname like Chicken Legs? Fair dinkum.
What do you think of the bunker?
Well, it's I love it because of the NFL, and that's what I love about the NFL. They stop every tackle and they make sure, like, I don't like the quick play the ball and cheating on people that aren't ready. In the NFL, they say, right, are you ready? Are you ready? Right, let's do your best to beat us. Right, we'll do it all over again. And there's no argument. So the bunker's a great idea because it's copied from the NFL. But the worst thing is you've got people in there that don't know rugby league. My grandmother can see. We can all see what the decision should be, and they come back with the opposite. Now, to me, they're either very stupid, which I think they are, and they haven't got any eye. Like, for me, you'd go into a rifle range and you'd say, right, have 10 shots. The bloke that gets 10 shots, he's in the video referee because he's got the best eyes. Who cares that he's a referee?
To be fair, but your grandmother was the second best Hemsley to play second row for
Exactly. I got. I tried to hit Tony Rampling one day at Leichhardt Oval, and I thought I'd come off with half a good shot, and he said, my mother hits harder than that, and I said, she'd be a good sort, wouldn't she?
I remember the time, I think it was Ciro, smashed Fatty Vorton twice. First time he hit him with everything and we thought he was dead. And he got up and played the ball looking like shit. And the second time he hit him even better, cleaner and better. And Fatty looked up at him and said, is that you, Ciro? I thought the ball boy tackled me.
Well, then the classic with Benny and Stevie Walters. Benny's gone out for him all game and that. And towards the end of the game, Stevie said, Benny, ease up, will you? I've got a test match to play next week. And then the classic, we're at the Sydney Cricket Ground and we're all down. And because this is a pretty true-to-life show, I can tell you this story. So we're packing down against South, Lindsay Johnson, Les Boyd, Mario Fennick, me, Blocker and Benny. And anyway, the first thing, the two hookers are giving it to each other. You fucking wog, you fucking wog, you fucking wog. So we broke the scrum up and we said, you're both fucking wog. Shut up. Again, another true story. I was going to tell you my joke when I first went to Sydney, when I used to ride the motorbikes. Remember there were no helmet laws?
Yes.
So anyway, I had the Viking helmet with the horns on it. So anyway, first day I'm at the El Rancho Hotel up at North Ryde. It's called the El Puncho in the old days. It's a real rough pub. So they've taken me there on a Saturday afternoon for a punt. There's been a big stink and glasses thrown and jaws getting smashed and all that sort of thing. And here I am, the big tough bikey with the Viking helmet on. So this old bloke kept checking me out. So after about half an hour, I walked over and I said, hey, what are you looking at, you old prick? You know, being a tough bikey bloke. And he said, nothing, mate, nothing. And I said, fucking bullshit. You've been checking me out for 30 minutes. What are you looking at? And he said, oh, all right then. He said, 20 years ago, he said, I fucked a cow and I thought you might have been me boy. So I threw the helmet away. Another true story.
Oh, very good.
That's great. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
It's been an absolute highlight.
It certainly has.
Full credit to Kerry Hemsley.
Full credit to the boys.
Thanks, G.